Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for continuing to hang on during our news break. We're talking about cashless society, cryptocurrency, and the last days. And we're in the last of the last days, and the Bible clearly states what's going to take place in the last of the last days. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, false teachers, false prophets, wars and rumors of wars, ethnic against ethnic, that is, nation against nation, global famine, pestilence, as the scripture says, will be one of those indications. That's diseases. We've seen AIDS. We've seen Ebola. We've watched now with the plandemic, with what is called the COVID-19 pandemic. And we found, ladies and gentlemen, that it's that we've basically been lied to, because what we have found is they claim that it was a deathly thing. It does kill folks, but ladies and gentlemen, it's been nothing compared to what we found as far as the destruction of human life and business and churches closed as a result of the forced closure. The Biden administration is on the fast track for a socialist nation. Here's an article that says, has socialism harmed no one? Question mark. Someone once said, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. That was demonstrated when a Florida Democratic representative made a remarkable claim last week on the floor of the House of Representatives. He claimed socialism never killed anyone. He said he's a representative from the University of Central Florida out of Orlando, and he defended, quote, democratic socialism with this amazing statement. This is what he said. These are semi-allegations that socialism has killed people around the world. My question is, are you at all concerned that the focusing on democratic socialism, which has exactly resulted in no deaths, no one being physically harmed, and not addressing the very real problem of neo-Nazism, white supremacy, fascism in the last 4 years, we're sending a very bad message, he said. Quote, socialism has harmed no one, brought no deaths. To condemn socialism sends a very bad message, he said. But ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not true. Greg, does socialism hurt anybody? Has it killed anybody?
We watched it take over 100 million lives in the last century between socialism and centralized planning. It always ends very badly. I think a lot of these modern-day socialists, they throw democratic in front of it, and they presume that makes it sweet and better. And over and over and over, it ends in horrific failure and the death of millions, yay, tens of millions. By the way, you mentioned that statement, that quote again, you know, if we don't study our history, we're doomed to repeat it. Is there something to be learned from the events of yesterday and the events of the past year dealing with, you know, Floyd and others? I think we, you know, the best reflection is one of, you know, what can we learn from this? How can we adjust ourselves in the future? And there'll be a lot of police officers that say, you know what, I'm done with the job. And others that go, you know what, there are a million ways of restraining a person. I'm not going to put my knee on a person's neck for 9 minutes, even if they outweigh me 100 pounds. But on the other side of that coin, how did this situation go down? How could George Floyd have ended up alive? Now, he'd be in jail, but how could he have ended up alive today? You know, law enforcement didn't just show up on the scene. They were called to the scene. Why did they get called to the scene? Because a felony had occurred, a federal felony, from what I understand, with the passing of counterfeit currency. So maybe that's the area we should look at. Or maybe we should look at the fact that George Floyd had consumed a whole bunch of different types of medication, drugs, whether it's fentanyl, which will kill you, just 3 grains of it is enough to kill a grown man, or the methamphetamine, or whatever else was in his system. Maybe we ought to look at the drug situation in our culture. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Did it end well for George Floyd?
Now, did you say that? I think it is something that needs to be examined. Across the nation, we have about 31 states now that have legalized marijuana, either by medical marijuana or recreational marijuana. And yet, marijuana is the gateway for every other drug out there. And we're concerned about fentanyl. We're concerned about other drugs. And yet, we're not concerned about opening the gateway for that.
It's even if we take the other approach to that same equation, if you have a libertarian approach and say, hey, we ought to be free to do what we want to, and we're not harming others, you can't be free in that sense and have a welfare state. Understand that an individual that because of whatever kinds of drugs they're not able to go and produce, many of those individuals end up on welfare that taxes us. It burdens the culture with the misdeeds of one individual. If somebody can commit a misdeed and they themselves are the only one that's harmed, that sounds great. But also counting the cost. Let's count the cost for every one of these states, cities, municipalities, whatever, that have chosen to go down that path. Is there a cost associated? And does it pay off? I don't think it pays off. I think that we see
Colorado's a good example of that. For every dollar they take in tax, they spend $4 on social services.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. I think, go into these things with your eyes wide open. Legislators, if legislators out there, you're listening today, do your homework. Homework before you make a decision on the part of a state to go down that path.
Absolutely. I believe we have another call on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Pastor. Just off the top of my head, I've come up with 7 signs, as in Noah's day, that was massive violence, corruption, and they were spiritually anemic. Lot's day, sexual perversion off the scale, pestilence, COVID, AIDS, Ebola, Israel's a nation again since 1948, gospel priests in all the world, technology is allowing a lot of stuff to happen, multiple signs at the same time. Increase of persecution of Jews and Christians. Yes. A lot of people are being murdered for their faith.
Brother, you're exactly right. And we see that escalating on a global basis. And for a few years, just a few years ago, we could see it internationally. But for the most part, we did not see those things in America until the recent few years. And we're finding it not only on a global basis now, but also in America, more than the history of the United States of America. And, brother, you're exactly right. As we see these things taking place, Luke 21:28 says we need to lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. And I believe that's what every Christian, under the sound of our voices today, needs to understand, that the time is short. The day is coming nigh. When we'll not have the freedoms that we have today, and we need to be concerned about it. I find that there's so many people that are not concerned about socialism, Marxism, Maoism, Leninism, socialism, ultimately redounds to communism. Many are not concerned about that, especially as Christians. I find it antithetical to biblical truth where a Christian will not be woefully concerned about where we're going as a nation, because, Joseph, I believe that you understand, and I know that many other listeners understand, that the first thing that goes, the first thing that's harmed, first thing that is extricated from society, once we go that route, is Christianity, the religious liberties, the freedom of speech, the right to keep and bear arms. These things absolutely disappear and allows the government to be in control then, even on a greater level. And, Joseph, that's exactly where we're going today, because these things are only the signs, the precursors to what ultimately shall take place. And another one of the indicators, Joseph, and we'll talk about that further in this broadcast, a cashless society. What do you do as a nation? What do you do as a people when you cannot depend on greenbacks in your pocket, when you cannot go to the bank and withdraw cash, when you do not have that to depend on? What do you do when you depended on cryptocurrency or Bitcoin, or as it would be called, Fedcoin, that they're talking about introducing now? What do we do in America when that's done? Because, Joseph, one of the things that we need to examine, and we'll do that on the broadcast today, is with that kind of currency, with that kind of coin, the electronic currency, every transaction, if you buy a pack of bubble gum, it is recorded. If you give to the wrong candidate and the feds do not like the candidate you've given to, they can simply, by the press of a button, cut off every dime that you would have available to you in your, quote, electronic bank account. So I see a major, major controlling factor that's on the horizon.
Yes, it's a control mechanism in addition to all this other stuff. And, I mean, you're not going to be able to urinate without their permission, and the socialists love it.
You're exactly right.
Sounds kind of totalitarian, kind of authoritarian, kind of fascist. You know, all those things that the left accused Trump of being. It's amazing. They kept calling Trump an authoritarian, and many of them would point to his aggression against the media. And, you know, First Amendment, free press. He never shut down the free press, other than kicking that one reporter out that snatched the microphone from the woman. He spoke ill of the press that spoke very ill of him. Every kind of lie in the world you can imagine, the media ran with in order to degrade him. Now, you know, the prior administration, the Obama administration, not only investigated over and over and over different media personalities, but put a few of them in jail. Somehow or another, that wasn't considered dictatorial or an authoritarian path. But Trump saying fake news is fake news. If you call it what it is, you're a bad guy. They'll shut you down. I mean, just ask Twitter.
That's right. Brother, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They're delusional in their I don't have the words I want to say. I mean, God says God's going to turn them over to a reprobate mind. He's going to send them a delusion because they want it. They've hated the truth, and so he's going to let them have at it with all this gender stuff and all the other things they're trying to throw at us.
Brother, you're exactly right. We're finding where it is fulfillment of what's said in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and following, where right is wrong, considered wrong, and wrong is considered right. And that's where we are today in the society. And the Bible says in the 12th verse of the 24th chapter of Matthew, all these things are only the beginnings of sorrow. So what we see taking place is the beginnings. The full fruition of it will be after the rapture of the church takes place. Joseph, thank you so much for your call, brother. Keep on looking up, because our redemption draweth nigh. Greg,
amen.
We're talking about, by
amen.
The way, thank you, sir. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, our telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Greg, some of these things, it's on the fast track for setting the stage for the Antichrist to step on the scene. And for the benefit of our listeners that may not understand the eschatological chronology, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. Following the rapture of the church, the Antichrist will step on the scene. There'll be 7 years of ruin. The Bible calls 7 years of tribulation. Following the 7 years of tribulation, the Lord Jesus Christ will return to this old world. There'll be a thousand-year millennial reign. Following the thousand-year millennial reign, we'll be ushered into eternity according to the Scripture. And so I'm looking forward to those days as they rapidly come about. But, Greg, one of the things that's taking place today that places it in the position that it's opening the door, it's setting the stage on a fast track, like on a banana peel on the high side of a mountain up near your house.
That's pretty steep.
Southern tip of heaven, as you call it. But I'm looking at an article here by Matt Stavel of Liberty Council. Says a U.S. government program is pushing vaccine passports, both domestically and internationally, and progress is reported directly to the White House. I've reviewed the White House representation on the subject, and I have seen one of the COVID control apps already in use elsewhere. This is Matt Staver, Liberty Council, calling for a coordination and alignment of vaccine credential activities across HHS agencies. The document states that vaccine passports are, quote, a critical driver for the restoration baseline population health and for the promotion of safe return to social, commercial, and leisure activities, end quote. Further, Matt Staver says in his newsletter on the subject, the presentation clearly states the federal government will inevitably be involved with vaccine credential solutions, and that is the implementation of a VA-issued vaccine credential to be used for international and domestic travel, and will be communicating progress to the White House day by day. He further says, I don't know about you, but I do not want the Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or any other governmental official keeping track on my daily movements, nor do I want any governmental official capturing my name, address, phone number, or friends of whom I have associated with or that I attend church with.
It's already been encroached so far. what you do online, obviously everything is being monitored.
Yes.
What you hover over, what you stand still on, what you click on, and the comments you make, they're all being monitored. But the government stepped back again during the Obama administration, and that multiplied thousands of pages that they called the Affordable Care Act, and everyone with a reasonable mind calls Obamacare. That included a database, basically nationalized our health care records. So we don't have any real privacy. And moving forward with that, if we go to a, you know, show me your documents, you know, era.
Documents, please.
Show me your documents, please. If we go to go that course, I would have to say to the left, particularly folks like Stacey Abrams. You know, Stacey Abrams lost that election in Georgia, said that there was great fraud in the election, and then you fast forward a couple years and there's no fraud in the election. However, they had opened Pandora's box and allowed folks to vote with no confirmation of signatures with original registrations. And she says, trying to confirm those signatures, that's racist. Requiring an ID, that's racist. Requiring an ID to vote is racist, but then requiring an ID, a vaccination ID to travel, that's not. Come on, folks. It's the pinnacle of absurdity.
That's splitting hairs with the truth.
The left likes to seemingly. I think they assume that the population is very ignorant, very stupid, very dumb, and we won't see through these things. These major hypocritical.
Well, it's a demeaning statement for every black person in America.
As if
that they're too ignorant to get an ID, to say right. That a black person is too ignorant to know how to get an ID, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and it's Stacey Abrams that's doing that.
I like the little meme that shows a fellow he's been pulled over by police, and he says, you know, police officer asked for the ID, and he says, I don't have one. I'm headed to the polls to vote. Think about how ridiculous that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to show an ID for virtually everything.
That's it.
However, that one thing that, you know, folks are most concerned about, the vote, you know, voter integrity ought to be there, folks. If there's no voter integrity, you'll have folks just like today. The majority of Republicans are convinced, I'm convinced, there was substantial fraud, election-changing, outcome-changing fraud in this last election.
Well, they're hand counting 2.1 million votes, hand counting them, going back in, I believe it's Wisconsin, where they're hand counting the votes that's ordered by the courts now, because they realize. And right now there's a whole team of attorneys out there trying to prevent the hand counting or the recounting of the votes in the five battleground states. What are they afraid of?
If they're recounting votes, which votes are they recounting? Now, if you can't document tons of those votes when they came out of an envelope, as soon as they were stripped from an envelope, you can't identify where that vote came from. So it's kind of, you know, it's a game. It's a game. Now, a few of these states, they may actually find the problems and identify the problems and seek to rectify the problems. By the way, any rectification of the problems will be called racism by the left, because that's the term. Everything's racist today. And by the way, when
that's to force somebody to stand down and stop discussing it.
When everything is racist, nothing is racist. When it's been so watered down, when everything is compared to Hitler's Germany, then it's been so watered down it doesn't mean anything.
Has no meaning anymore. It's either racist or white supremacist that they're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Some of the precursors to the last of the last days, we're talking about the signs of the times. And in that, we're talking about a cashless society, cryptocurrency. And part of that is having the ID, the COVID passport ID, which will track every human being on the face of the globe. And ultimately, it will be transmitted from just the vaccination or the QR code that is now used in New York State, and other states are implementing it as we speak. That QR code that will be the identification to show that you've been vaccinated, that you have the freedom to travel. Without that, ultimately, there'll be, you can't get on a plane, you can't buy anything, can't sell anything, can't open your business, can't close your business, can't go into a restaurant, you can't have social services, medical services, the hospital services, et cetera, et cetera. That's the fast track, ladies and gentlemen, where we're headed. But linked with that, Greg, indissolubly, is the cashless society. I'm looking at an article here that says the government might be preparing for us a cashless society, but it was predicted in the Bible, already designed, according to this article. If put into place, this just means that our time is getting closer. I'm not worried about what's going to happen in the future, but just looking up and getting ready. While the devil is preparing people for the Antichrist, God is preparing people for the rapture. I don't know when the rapture will take place, but I do believe it could be soon. that particular writer said. And ladies and gentlemen, it's dealing with Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18, where according to verse 18, there will be the mark. They call it in the Bible 666. It's a man-centered universe, 66. Man, the number biblically, numerically speaking, is 6. So it's a man-centered universe that we're looking at, which is the epitome of humanism, and that's exactly what we see taking place. But with that, ultimately, that will be the mark that is talked about in Revelation chapter 13, and that mark will indicate then whether you're in submission to the government or not, where you can buy, sell, or trade. But linked with that, ladies and gentlemen, is on the fast track today in America, already being used in China and in other nations partially to be set up. Totally being used in China today since 2014 when they first introduced it was the cashless society, which the cryptocurrency, they call it the yuan in China, and we'll call it cryptocurrency or Fed coin. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Youngblood. Brother Davis here.
Brother Davis, thank you so much for calling. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir. We are very blessed, and I thank God for what you're doing as usual. And Brother Greg, good morning to you. Thank God for you also. Being a part of this. I just want to say, Dr. Youngblood, just in comment, basically, you and I tried to give everyone fair warning ever since the first part of last year that certain things were going to be taking place because they had already perpetrated the lie foretold in the scripture in the book of Thessalonians, that delusional lie that once we take the COVID shot and, you know, fall in line with all these other things that they are wanting to have done, then we will be able to return to the norm. And that's why we see so many people that have actually bitten on that lie. They're hoping to return to the norm, but Dr. Youngblood, I'm mighty afraid that the norm as we used to know it will never, ever be again. And as soon as they come to realize that, I think the better off things will be. Maybe they will start taking a stand once they learn that we're never going back to the norm. It's going to be another norm as the way they define the norm to be.
You're exactly right, brother. In fact, Anthony Fauci has already said, when asked the question, when we'll go back to normal, and he said, I don't know if there'll be anything other than a new normal. That is a new time frame in which we'll be living in. And I am saddened, Brother Davis, to understand that our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandkids, after we've already gone, will look back and say what America used to be like, what America was, and how they would be speaking in future tense, 30, 40, 50 years from now. Our generation, if Jesus tarries, will be talking to future generations, be talking about how America used to be free, America used to have churches, America used to have currency in the pocket, America used to have freedom of religion, freedom of speech, etc., and we do not have it now.
Amen.
It's interesting. You had the meme that's gotten the most attention on my Facebook page in the past week or so shows Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates as though they are mechanics working on your automobile. Each one's leaning on the front end of your automobile, and the statement is, there's a 99% chance your car will run fine, but we recommend you service it with an experimental oil that may destroy your engine. Nothing is wrong with your car, but do it anyway so others feel good about servicing their cars. And I busted out laughing as soon as I saw that, and it seems like a lot of folks have done the same as I, and same as me, same as I. I'll tell you what, my mom's going to correct me when I get off this broadcast.
Yeah.
But the reality is they control folks with fear.
That's right.
It is the greatest manipulator.
That's the fear factor.
And they have to keep you afraid. You know, first, it's you need to be afraid of COVID, even though the death rate seems to be about the same as the flu. And now that that's kind of waning, that's kind of falling off a cliff, folks are realizing, you know what? It's not happening the way they said it happened. Now it's back to the global warming. I'm sorry, global climate change. So climate change this week. Okay, you have to realize that you need to be afraid all the time.
Well, Greg,
for the leftists to have their agenda pursued and achieved.
Greg, I've said, and Pastor Davis has heard this. They control the mind through fear. Now they've left from the fear factor to controlling our mobility by the COVID vaccine. And the next thing is to control our money by way of a cashless society. And that's the threefold steps that's being taken by the federal government today to control we the people. Brother Davis, thank you so much for your call, for your input. Keep on looking up. Keep on praying, brother, because
Amen.
God is on the throne. He's not forgotten us. He's not left us. We're not alone. But we need to keep praying and recognize that God will have us to be actively involved, even in the last of the last days. Thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a cashless society, cryptocurrency, and a cashless society. We need to understand what is about to take place, ladies and gentlemen. I'm looking at an article that says, dethroning the U.S. dollar, China takes the great leap forward. China has its eye on dethroning the U.S. dollar for decades with the currency. They have a gold-backed yuan that is their currency today. Here's another.
They're buying a lot of gold. Do they identify that as, is that a governmental thing?
They bought the gold and their yuan is based on a gold. And in America, with the cashless society they're talking about with the Fed coin, there will be nothing behind it.
You've said over and over, it's a fiat currency we have today. You know, and folks may not understand that term. Basically, it's whatever they make it. You know, they can print as much as they want or pull from the circulation as much as they want. It's completely fiat on the part of the government. Since 1974, us leaving the gold standard, the only thing that's kept the dollar propped up is what's called the petrodollar. Oil by OPEC nations must be sold in U.S. dollars. Therefore, other currencies have to be converted to U.S. dollars. Therefore, it creates a demand for the dollar. But even with that demand for the dollar, when the Federal Reserve Bank can literally digitally buy up as much debt as they want to or as necessary, and the Federal Reserve Bank can print just as much gold as they want to or as necessary, it's worthless. I mean, I've said for a decade or more now, the money is looking more and more like monopoly money. And in Venezuela, it's blowing down the street. Tens of millions of dollars will be blowing down the street. Nobody will pick it up because it's worthless. We're doing the same exact thing here.
Absolutely.
But we have this shell game going on where it's made to look legit. And, of course, we have the full faith and credit of the government, right? So they insure that dollar. What do they insure that dollar is going to be worth?
Nothing. Greg, here's an article that says, Fed just revealed plans for the digital dollar replacement. Thanks to the Federal Reserve, the idea that you can go into a store anonymously and purchase anything with cash may soon be obsolete in America because they are developing something called the Fed coin, which would be based on the blockchain technology. And it goes on to talk about the digital and decentralized ledger that records all transactions for any time someone buys digital coins on a decentralized exchange. Here's another article by Matt Staver in the newsletter. It says, yes, you read it correctly. China has begun its digital currency back in 2014. It goes further to say what we're about to do in America. And it says every transaction will be monitored and there will nothing be private. And it goes on to talk about the buyback of gum. Whatever you do,
with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First
Conservative Baptist
Church.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Look forward to meeting you next time on the air. Once again, Face the Issues.
12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 0.5 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.